I need to be able to see clearly. And I was like, I can't see too well. And I called my wife. I said, honey, you got to make me a doctor's appointment. I got to go see the eye doctor right away. And so back in the day, I would wear glasses, but I don't wear glasses too much anymore because it makes my nose look crooked. Don't laugh. Don't look at my nose, all right? It was straighter once upon a time, and then I got in an accident with a guy's fist, and it made it crooked. Anyway, so long story short, I went to this eye doctor appointment, okay? Now, as I was sitting in the chair of this eye doctor, I found out that my eyesight is not so good. I was like, oh my gosh, I felt like the old woman on My Cousin Vinny. Remember? She's like, maybe it's time for a new pair of glasses, right? And so like sitting in this chair and I realized that my left eye, I'm like 20/70 and 20/50 or something like that. That's not good, is it? And I'm like, dude, we're in the year 2020. I need to have 20/20 vision. I need to be able to see clearly. And the worst part was that last week was my birthday, my license expired. So now I got to go for an eye test, and I'm waiting for my glasses to come in. Okay? And I don't have my glasses. I'm a CDL driver. I'm like, and plus I got to go for a physical, a DOT physical. And so I found this guy in Glen Burnie, and he was like a doctor off of Craigslist. I don't know how I found this dude, but I found him. He's in Glen Burnie. If anybody needs to go for a physical, okay, I'll tell you where to go, okay? And this guy walked in. I walked into his office. There was like one other person in there. And I'm like, dude, I need to pass this physical. So as soon as I walk in there, I'm like, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to memorize the eye chart. Shut up, okay? Don't look like that, okay? I can't even remember the gas pump when I walk away from my car. Come on, is anybody else like that? I'm in line, like, man, what was I, 8, 9? And I gotta step back out. Like, yeah, it's number 8. And so I get in there, and I'm like, I'm not gonna be able to do this, right? And so now I'm literally like this, about from this far to the eye chart. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is not gonna work. I'm not gonna make it. And he's telling me what numbers, and it just looks like a solid line. And I'm just like, I don't know, K, R, T. And he's like, look harder. And I keep opening my eyes and blinking. He's like, he looks at me, looks down at his paper. He said, ah, that's good enough, right? Then he goes, what color is that? I said, blue. He said, red, green. All right, good, you passed. I'm like, yes, right? And I'm walking into doors on my way out. Can't see nothing, right? So now I got to go to the motor vehicles, and I'm praying, God, please don't let them make me do an eye test, right? So I go in, I'm sitting down, and I'm all nervous, and like everything's going along. I was like, maybe I'm not going to do an eye test. Sure enough, the very last thing, she says, can you please go ahead and, you know, press your head on that thing, right? And so I pressed my head on the thing, and like she said, read the bottom line. And I'm reading it, and I can see it halfway decent. And I'm like, D, dot, something else. She said, no, it's K. I said, no, it's a D. She said, no, it's a K. I said, it's a D. And I'm talking with this lady. She's like, and the lady behind her said, maybe, oh, you pushed the wrong button. So I pushed her other button. So now another line comes up, and I can't see it at all. It's dark at the bottom, right? And I'm like, oh, my God. I'm sweating. I'm like, I'm not going to make it. And I start doing some other letters, and I'm looking up. I said, it's so dark down there. I can't see nothing. And so she goes back and forth with me, and the girl behind her said, he good. Go ahead, give it to him. I was like, perfect. Thank you, Lord. And so I got my driver's license. I passed the test. Hey, look, I didn't try to cheat on the eye test, y'all. I was just like, God, I need to pass this thing because my license are dead. And my glasses just came in yesterday, so you will be seeing me with some glasses on. And so, man, when you lose your eyesight, that's tough. When you begin to, you once was able to see clearly, but now you don't see that clear anymore. It just confuses things. It makes things harder to concentrate, don't it? It makes things harder to look at. And so today, I want to talk to you about vision. And since we're in the year of 2020 meaning, you know, perfect vision, I want to talk to you about three areas of vision. Because a lot of times we lose sight and we lose sight of what God wants to do in us personally. I want to talk about three areas of vision. Personal vision. You can write this down. Personal vision. Vision for your family, for your home, and vision for our church. And so God wants us to see clearly for ourselves, for our family, and for our church. There are some examples in the Bible of where they literally had bad eyesight. And I just want to share with you just a few stories. The first story is a guy named Eli. Eli was a priest. And in fact, his life was a lot full of compromise. He allowed his sons to walk in wickedness. He overlooked these things. And in fact, when he began to raise up actually Samuel was just a young man. The Bible said that Eli's eyes were dim. That means that he was getting old and he wasn't able to see clearly any longer. And in fact, he was the priest, the high priest, there in the temple of the Lord. Eli had bad vision. Another guy who had bad vision in the Bible. Does anybody know? Let me hear you if you know anybody who had bad vision in the Bible. Let me hear you. Any Bible scholars out there this morning? Who? Close. Paul had bad. Isaac. Let's talk about Isaac for a minute. Isaac's eyesight was so bad that he blessed the wrong son. Isaac's eyesight was so bad that he couldn't even tell Jacob away from Esau. In fact, Jacob disguised himself when he walked in. He put on camels, but he put on some fur on his arms, and he came in out. Remember, he was supposed to. Isaac was supposed to bless Esau. I need to pray right now. Father, in Jesus' name, I come against every distraction and every mind-binding spirit. God, help me to speak clearly. Anoint this in Jesus' name. Amen. And so Isaac's eyesight was so bad that he blessed the wrong son. And so when Jacob came in, he disguised himself as Esau, but instead, Isaac went ahead and spoke a blessing over Jacob instead of Esau. Why? Because his vision was bad. Are you still with me? He couldn't see clearly. I'm talking to you about vision, having clear vision. There was also another guy who had bad eyesight. His name was Samson. His eyesight was so bad, they plucked out his eyes. They plucked out his eyes. He was a Nazarite. He was anointed of the Lord, and he had great power in God. But because he allowed Delilah he fell asleep in the lap of Delilah. He fell into a place of disobedience, and he leaked out the area of his strength, that it was. He was a Nazarite unto the Lord, and he wasn't allowed to cut his hair. But even before that, there was other things in his life that he allowed to violate. He touched dead things, and he married into the wrong people. And so there was a lot of compromise into the life of Samson. And because he allowed all this compromise to come into his life, it made him lose what? His vision. There was another guy in the Bible. His name was the Apostle Paul. His name was actually, I just want to help you out with this. His name was Paul and Saul. He didn't turn from Saul to Paul. And there's a lot of confusion with that, because people think he was Saul, and then when he had an encounter with God on the Damascus Road, he turned into Paul. His name was both Saul and Paul. He had two different names. It was very common back then in Hebrew times. And so the apostles, Paul, when he was on the road to Damascus to go kill the Christians, he had an encounter with God, and what did it do? Does anybody know? God did what to him? Struck him with blindness. And so does anybody know how long he was blind for? Oh, come on, I'm testing you this morning. How many days was he blind for? 3 days. And so for 3 days, he didn't eat. For 3 days, he was blind, and he went into a town. Does anybody know what street it was called? Straight. Street called Straight. Come on, guys. Yes, I know, but he got into a town, and he had to come to Ananias' house. Come on, man. Y'all better get in the Word. How many have been reading the Bible? It's been fun, ain't it? Going through it every day and keeping up with it? Well, you'll get to the book of Acts pretty soon, all right? And so here is Paul, and he's blind for 3 days. Ananias lays hands on him, and sure enough, God healed him, and scales fell off of his eyes, and he's able to walk now with sight. There was another guy named blind man Bartimaeus. Anybody know who that is? Do you remember he's sitting by the roadside and he heard that Jesus was walking by? And so when he heard that Jesus was walking by, he started to do what? He started to cry out with a loud voice. He said, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And so it got his attention. And in fact, everybody around him was irritated with Bartimaeus. But he knew and he heard that Jesus was coming. He knew there was a healer walking by. He knew there was a Savior about to walk by. And he didn't want to miss this moment. But even though he was blind, he still cried out in a loud voice. He's like, "Have mercy on me." Can I ask you a question? How do blind men see anything? But yet, by faith, he was able to see the Son of God walking by him. Come on. There are a lot of people that have perfect 20/20 eyesight, but yet lack vision. Come on, y'all ain't hearing nothing. They can't see Jesus in front of them. They can't see the goodness of God in front of them. There are a lot of people with perfect eyesight, but yet they don't have vision or they don't have no revelation for life. Just because you can see doesn't mean you can see. Come on, somebody. Are you still with me? Blind man Bartimaeus, he saw Jesus, the Son of God, the Son of David, walking. The prophetic word about to walk in front of him, but yet he didn't want to miss this moment because he knew that the healer was walking by. And at that moment, he got Jesus' attention, and he called Bartimaeus to him and said, "What do you want to do?" He said, "I want to receive my sight." But God wants us to walk and have clear vision. The last story I want to share with you is there was a blind man that came to Jesus, another blind man. And Jesus did something very odd. It was probably one of the most oddest prayer lines I ever heard of in the Bible. And he said, "Blind guy, stand in front of me." He stood in front of him. Jesus bent down. He spit on the ground. He made some mud with his spit, and then he rubbed it on his eyes. Now, I'd like to know, would anybody like to get in that prayer line? Come on, somebody. Come on, we're going to line up for prayer. I'm going to spit in your eye. I'm going to rub some dirt in it. And then you probably never come back to this church again. Pastor done lost his mind. He's spitting in our eyes, putting mud in our eyes. And so now watch this. He made this mud, and he rubbed it on the man's eyes. At that moment, Jesus said, "Open your eyes and tell me what you see." And the man opened his eyes. He said, "I see men, but they're walking and they look like trees." Jesus, at that moment, wasn't satisfied with this. You see, he said, "No, you got to see clearly." And Jesus prayed for him one more time. You see, this helps me out to know that sometimes God heals progressively. Sometimes God doesn't do it all at once, and we would love to know that God does it all at once. I would love to know that. I would love to see things happen, manifest and all at once in my life, like overnight kind of a thing, an instant kind of a thing. But sometimes it happens progressively. Sometimes it happens when we continue to walk by faith. Come on, somebody. And so here he prayed for him again, and he said, "Okay, now tell me what you see." And he opened his eyes again, and he was able to see clearly. You see, God wants us to see clearly. And there are many people, even right here in this room, that you don't have a clear vision for your life. And so here are the areas that God wants us to talk about, is to have personal vision for our life. You see, the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18, it says, "For where there is no vision, the people perish." But also in another translation, it says, "Where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint." And so what does that mean? Is that means that when I lack vision, there's no, when I don't understand the purpose for my life, I just go off and just live any way that I want to. I become uncovered, no holding back, no purpose, no direction. It reminds me of when Moses was on the mountain with God. And he was up there for so many days that the people said to his brother Aaron, he said, "Moses, we have no idea what has happened to him. Where is this Moses at? Where is he gone?" And so the Bible said they began to drink, and they began to have these wild parties, and they built a cow, and they said, "This is Yahweh, this is God, this is Jehovah who brought us out of Egypt." And they were tripping out while Moses was gone. And God had a conversation with Moses, and God said, "The people are without restraint." That means that they lost their vision. They lost their purpose. Look how they're living. Can I tell you, a person who has lost their vision will walk around like they have no purpose. They'll walk around with no direction. Has anybody ever gotten up in the middle of the night because you had to go maybe get something to drink or you had to go to the restroom? And what happens when you walk in your room at night and there's no lights on? Think about it for a minute. You run into stuff. And if you're in my bedroom, you're walking on everything. Sometimes you might walk on a Lego. Anybody ever step on a Lego? If you step on a Lego and you're over your 40s, that means you're a grandparent. All right? And so, you might step on something in the room. And how many know that darkness can make the strongest man weak? Can make the perfect with the best eyesight like they don't know where they're going. And so that's what happens in darkness. That's what happens when you lose vision. And so today I want to talk to you about three areas. Are you ready? Write this down. Vision for yourself. I want to talk about you for a minute. I want to make this personal. I want to ask you a question. Where are you going in life? Have you ever thought about that? What direction are you headed in? There's a lot of people that go through life. I remember this Charlie Brown cartoon. And Charlie Brown and what was this girl's name? Lucy, right? And Charlie Brown has his bow and arrow, and he is shooting the bow and arrow at the wall. And so after he would shoot the bow and arrow at the wall, he would go up to the bow and arrow as it was stuck in the wall, and he would paint a bullseye around it. And then Lucy said to him, "What are you doing, Charlie Brown?" And he said, "Well, if I keep doing this, I'll always hit the bullseye." And so the point is this, is that there are a lot of people that go through life and they throw everything out the wall and whatever sticks, they said, "I'll just go with that." And so without no purpose or no direction, we'll keep looking for the answers to life. God wants us to be intentional with our life. Too often we drift through life with no direction, with no purpose, and we find ourselves outside of God's perfect plan. We find ourselves outside of God's perfect plan. What is the personal direction or vision for your life? There are a lot of people, even in the body of Christ, that depression grips them, and they walk with no purpose because they don't have vision for their life. God wants us to have vision for our life. In order to have vision for our life, we can't be afraid to ask ourselves the hard questions. If not, we avoid the areas we need to improve on, and we never get better. If we're always afraid to be confronted with the things and look at the dashboard of our soul, we'll never improve. We must be sold out to God's plan for our life. What is the vision for your life? Have you ever thought about the vision for your life? Have you ever begun to think about your future? Have you ever thought about your plans for tomorrow? Too many people go through life and they just walk through it aimlessly without even thinking about the future, without having a goal. You know, when I first got married, I had goals. I would set goals in my life. I set a 5-year goal. I wanted to own a house. I wanted to own a home, and it took 6 years, but I had a goal in front of me. Are you catching what I'm saying? Are you picking up what I'm laying down, Frank? That's an inside joke. We were talking about that the other night. And so there's a lot of people that don't ever set goals for yourself. If I never set a goal for myself, I'll never reach them. Are you still with me? Come on, I'm preaching here this morning. Are you still with me? I'm talking about having vision for your life. Have a vision for your life. Have vision for your family. Have a vision for yourself. We must be sold out to God's plan. The first thing that you want to do is have vision for yourself. Second area of vision is have vision for your family. Husband and wives many times are not on the same page. Many times, they're not even in the same book. God wants you to be on the same page with each other. Lack of communication causes great strain in a family. It causes great strain in a marriage. Too often, the husband has one idea on what he wants to accomplish, and then the wife has another idea on what they want to accomplish. You know what begins to happen? They have two visions. The husband has one vision as to how he thinks their family should look. The wife has one vision as the family, how the family should look. And even the children will have family as to how what they think their family should look like. You know what begins to happen? Division. Die meaning two. There's two visions. How many know that a house divided cannot stand? Are you still with me? She's wanting to go her way, and he's wanting to go his way. It creates division. It creates a place where the enemy can come in. How many know that a house divided cannot what? It cannot stand. A divided house. The enemy knows that. Because if he can do, if he can cause division in a home, if he can cause disharmony in a home, it what it does, it attracts evil. The Bible talks about where there's envy and there's strife. You know what envy means? That means that you're always wanting what somebody else has. And you're never happy with what you've got. And where there's strife, there's always fighting. If there's constant disharmony and division in a home, you know what happens? It makes it a lightning rod for the enemy. A home without vision allows the enemy to come right in and create confusion and disrupts a home. But if I turn that around and say, a house divided cannot stand, well, if I have a house that's united and founded on the principles of God's word, and I'm walking in the same direction, my wife is, we're walking in the same direction. We may not always agree on the same thing, but we agree on the scripture. We want to move forward. Well, you know what? A united house will be unstoppable. Come on. It will be unmovable. It will be unbreakable. It will be unshakable when a home comes together in the name of Jesus. Somebody give God a great big praise in this church. God doesn't want division in your home. Yes, we need to have a personal vision. Yes, we need to have vision for our family. We need to come in agreement with each other. My wife and I, before church started today, I took hold of her and we had prayer this morning to walk in agreement. God is asking, when was the last time that you grabbed your family together and say, let's pray about this thing. Let's come together as a home. Let's come together as a family. Let's come together, children. Come on, kids. Come on, mom. Come on, dad. And God is wanting the Spirit of God to be in our homes. Vision for your family. God doesn't want you to survive. God wants you to thrive. God wants you not just to get through, but God wants you to walk in a place of breakthrough. God wants us to walk in a place of victory. Are you still with me? God wants us, wants unity in our home. God wants us to walk in unity in our home. The number one thing that will break a home apart, the number one thing, can somebody take a guess? What do you think the number one thing is? Pride. Pride will divide a home because pride says, I want my own. I want to get mine. I want to make sure that I get my point across. I want to make sure that you're not getting over on me. And that's what pride does in a home. That's what happens, why husband and wives argue, is because they don't want to let the other one get away with that. Come on, somebody, are you still with me? How many know lack of communication causes a great strain? Because one can be saying one thing, another could be saying another thing. Like this morning, me and Pastor Jen were talking, and we almost got into an argument because we were saying the same thing, but in different ways. I said, wait a minute, you're saying the same exact thing, but maybe you're just saying it in a different way than I'm saying it. And it could have resulted into a pretty good argument, right? And so the thing is that we had to notice that. How many know that every argument doesn't have to end in World War III? It doesn't have to be like the Battle of Armageddon, where now we're bringing up your mother this and your father that, and I should have never married you in this, and you're no good. But see, that's what happens, and you're just having a simple ride to church. Come on. I guess somebody else got in that argument maybe in the last few days. I don't know. But that's what happens is that when there's division, and because what happens is that And those that I do marriage counseling with, you'll maybe hear this, you've heard this, so maybe I'll say it again to you. You probably didn't know you was coming to a marriage counseling class this morning, right? If you would take a knife and I would begin to go right here on this podium, what would it do? What would it do? It would create what? A groove. And so now, if I would bring that knife across this podium, what would that knife tend to do? It would tend to fall right back into this groove again, correct? And so, see, that's what happens whenever husband and wives, they end up into an argument. They automatically go right back into this groove. They automatically pull up the past. They automatically pull up everything else, and all you guys' arguing was over breakfast. And then the next thing you know, everything begins to come out of the closet, and now you want divorce. Now you're calling the pastor. Now you're saying, no, you got to go home. Now it's okay, Mark. Marriage ain't that bad. Adam's back there like, cheer, buddy. You're in for this one day. Listen, married people. This August, it'll be 27 years. My wife and I will be married, okay? Amen. I think they should start giving out awards after you get to a certain age. You know what I'm saying? Like the state should step in and we say, we'd like to go ahead and honor you with the Purple Heart or something like that, right? But how many know that marriage is not easy? And whenever a marriage is walking in division, there'll always be strife. There'll always be confusion. Because it wasn't always that good in our home. Because she was going after God and I wasn't. And when she was going after God and I wasn't, she was getting closer to God. But you know what happened to me and her? We got further apart. And here's another image that I like to use, okay? If you can see a triangle, right? You got God to the top. You got husband here. You got wife here. Well, if husband is going after God and wife is not, where is wife at? Wife is down here. Husband is getting closer to God. Wife is away from God, and wife is away from husband. Well, let's flip it around. Wife is going after God. Husband ain't. And then what's happening? He's far from God, and he's also far from her. But if you look at it where wife is going after God, husband is going after God, what is it looking like? Now they're getting closer to God, but not only that, they're getting who? They're getting closer to each other. And so in the same way, when both husband and wife make the decision to say, listen, I'm going to follow Christ. I want to go after God. When we begin to walk in that kind of unity, then God begins to build a home in a different way. Yes, you're still going to have fights. Yes, you're still going to have arguments. Because believe me, we almost got into another argument on the way to church. This morning was very eventful. Now we're at McDonald's. That's all I got to say. I ordered something, and I knew it was going to come out wrong. How many have ever done that? I just know it was going to come out wrong. I'm trying to get two sets of, I'm just being real with you. Is this okay? I just want to share it with you this morning, and I hope this is helping you. Is this helping anybody? Because I just want to show you, I just want to explain to you that, Pastor, I have moments, but I had to make a choice and whether or not I was going to allow this moment to take me out and take me back home or continue to come to church. So now I want to get two sets of eggs and sausage, okay? Does anybody understand what I want? I want a set of sausage and eggs here, and I want another set of sausage and eggs. Well, when it came up on the screen, I saw two sausages, two eggs. I said, this is going to be wrong. I go to the window, and I said, the video said I want two sets. You understand what I want? Oh, yes, sir, we got you. Okay, now I go to the window, and guess what I get? Not what I wanted. I got one big set. I said, I got one big set of sausage and eggs. I lay on the horn. Kid opens the door, open the window. He's like, what? And I said, and all of a sudden, all the blood in my body went right into my head, into my eyes, and right here was like about to bust. And then another girl said, what? And I'm telling you, I'm about to bug out, right? And I got my With God shirt on, and I'm going to preach this morning. And so then the manager steps in. Anyway, long story short, she looks at me, you're a minister of the gospel. Why are you acting like that this morning, right? You know what I did? I tried to defend myself. I said, well, they shouldn't have snapped back at me first. They did it. It was their fault. And then after that, now the Holy Spirit started to get a hold of me, and I'm like, but honey, you're right. I said, no matter how they act with me, I'm supposed to go ahead and act in love, no matter if they came off the wrong way or not. Me and her could have gotten to a full-blown war because of eggs and sausage. Are you with me? The guy comes back, and I get the manager back, right? And I can see him. He's like, oh, God, what does this guy want now? He comes to the door, and I got the money in my hand. I said, sir, I'm sorry. I was really wrong the way I acted with you. How much do I owe you? He said, don't worry about it. It's on us. Okay, great. We get to church. And Samson spilled the sausage and eggs on the floor. And they were for Alex. Guys, don't ever order sausage and eggs at McDonald's. Keep it simple. Order a cheeseburger, a Big Mac, do something like that. But do you see my point, what I'm trying to say? is that if there's not unity in the home, I'm not saying you're not going to fight. I'm not saying you're not going to get into an argument. But if you allow the Holy Spirit to come in, then those things right there, you know, if a family is divided, you know where we would end up this morning? Not here. Maybe we would end up on the side of the road. Maybe I would have been walking down the road. Maybe I would have been home. But the thing is that when a family is united and say, listen, we're not going to allow no weapon formed against us to prosper. Ain't no sausage and eggs ever going to prosper over me in Jesus' name. We come in agreement and say, you know what? I want to walk together. Come on, is this helping anybody this morning? God wants you to have clear vision for your home, have clear vision for your family, because it's real easy to allow the enemy to come in when you're walking divided, because then we become open ground. When a home is divided, the enemy has already won. A house can be divided without the enemy. Do you know why? Because it's selfish interest. When she wants her own and he wants her own, and we don't want to let nobody win, you know what happens? Selfishness has already crept in, so the enemy sits back and says, man, they're doing a great job even without me. But yet we want to rebuke the devil, and we want to blame the devil for everything that's going on in your home. And you know what? It may not even be the devil's fault as to the trouble that you're experiencing in your house. It might be the very fact that you're disobeying God. Maybe it might be the very fact that you're being prideful. Maybe you're looking at things that you shouldn't look at. Maybe you're talking to her or you're talking to him in ways that you shouldn't talk. The Bible says to esteem others' interest above yourself. And when you begin to do that, we can begin to walk in unity. Come on, give the Lord a hand of praise if you believe that you want clear vision for your home. Here's the third thing right here, is vision for your church. Vision for the church. Jesus said, the gates of hell won't prevail against his church because it sets upon the rock. The foundation of every church determines its destiny. The foundation of every church will determine its destiny. We cannot grow big until we grow foundationally. And there are things that God has intentionally put together in teams that God is forming even now to say, you know what, we want to grow foundationally before we grow big. Our vision for our church is to be that place where heaven touches earth. In the drive-thru of McDonald's, I wasn't the place where heaven touches earth. I was the place where hell touched earth at that moment. Are you? I'm sorry, okay. I know we're live. 58,000 people watching this right now. But the vision for our church is to be that place where heaven touches earth. Even in that moment, I had to repent. I had to say, God, I didn't act right. This is not glorifying you. So what does that look like to be the place where heaven touches earth? It's to be a place where people can see God in you. Not because of a t-shirt you might wear or because of scripture you might know. Or it might be the fact that maybe I speak in tongues or I'm a minister of the gospel. That has nothing to do with it. Because I'm tired of serving God from memory. I want to serve God through intimacy. And when I serve God through intimacy, I become the place where heaven touches earth. I become a place of love. I become a place of refuge for those who are hurting. I become a place of answers that the people that have questions. I become a place of peace where people are going through nothing but storms in their life. Why? Because God is in me. Do you know that you could be the place where heaven touches earth in somebody's life without even saying a word? Just the fact that you're there. You know, there have been tragedies and different things that has happened in the past. Families that has gone through hardship, unexpected loss of loved ones, bad diagnosis. You know, I didn't walk in the room and say, you know what, thus says the Lord, you shall live and not die. You know, that God's going to curse this cancer. And there was time for that. But sometimes you just walk into the room and just say, you know what? I love you. I'm sorry you're going through this right now. God's going to make a way for you. And when you do that, you know what? You become that place where heaven touches earth. This year, in Habakkuk 2:2, talks about how where there is no vision, people, he said, write the vision down. I'm sorry. Write the vision. Make it plain. Write it on tablets. that them that read it may run. And the one thing that we want to concentrate on this year is to run. Is to run with it. When we run with it, we come in agreement with the vision and it comes to pass. When we see the vision clearly, we will run with it. God wants you to see clearly. God wants me to see clearly the vision for my life personally. God wants me to see, have a clear vision for my family. God wants me to have a clear vision for our church. Our action will always prove that I'm in agreement. The Bible says, how can two agree? How can they walk together unless they agree? Okay, Pastor, I see the benefits of having vision. But how do I get the vision? You know, it was just a few weeks ago. I was in church and I'm praying. And I'm like, God, I need fresh vision for our church. I need fresh vision for my life. I need fresh vision for my family. I want you to know I pray this way. I'm not going to stand and tell you something that I don't do personally. I was praying, God, I need vision again for my home. I need vision for me personally, God. I just don't want to walk through life as one hitting the air. God, I want to walk on purpose. I want to be intentional about everything that I do in my life. That's why we've got the reading plan. That way, you're not playing Russian roulette with the Bible. Now you know where to go. Now you know what to read. Now we're being intentional about getting into the Word. God wants us to be intentional in our church. Have clear vision. And I was praying. I'm in here. I'm like, God, please give me vision for this church again. God, I refuse to be stale in my mind. I refuse to just stay in this place of lack in my mind. God, give me vision for our church. But how do you get vision for your family? There are many times I hear couples talk to me. I don't know how to do it. I don't know how to straighten things out. I don't understand how to make this plan work. There are some in here in business and you're trying to get your business off the ground. God is saying, have vision for it. Have vision for your life on the job. Have vision for it. Set goals for yourself. But how do I do it? The first thing that we got to do is seek God desperately, and He'll reveal His plan to you. You know the scripture. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not evil. Plans to give you a hope in the future. But when you search for me with all of your heart, I'll be found by you, says the Lord." Seek God desperately, and He'll reveal His plan. Don't restrain yourself spiritually. Don't hold back when it comes down to worship. Don't hold back when it comes down to reading the Bible. Don't hold back when it comes down to serving in the church. This is God's plan and purpose for our life. But it all starts with Him. Don't start with man trying to find out God's plan. We got to start with God. Are you still with me? That's the first thing. Write that down. Seek God desperately, and He'll reveal His plan to you. Second thing is this: be selfless with your pursuit of the vision. God's vision is not designed to serve my needs, but it is designed to impact the world around me. Anytime that I'm seeking gain for myself, for my own personal gain, I become selfish. But if you want to see a vision come to pass, say, God, allow this to happen because I want to impact the world around me. Don't make it about me. Look at somebody and say, it's not about you. It's not about you. It's about God. Here's the third thing. Be tenacious. I know it's a big word, but tenacious means aggressive. Don't hold back. Here's a cardinal sin, and I know none of us do this in here, but don't procrastinate. Nobody procrastinates in here, right? Everybody's looking at me sideways. Don't let nothing or no one stop you. Don't let nothing or no one stop you. If I can talk you out of it, then it's really not God's vision for your life. You really don't want it. Be tenacious. Look at somebody and say, be tenacious. here's the fourth thing. Dream big. Dream big. If I can make it happen, if I can make the vision come to pass on my own, then I'm not seeing big enough. Dream big. Think big. It's got to be so big that it's got to take God to make it happen. If money can make it happen, then it's not a God-sized vision. If I can make it happen, then it's not a God-sized vision. God wants you to dream big for yourself personally. God wants you to dream big for your family. God wants us to dream big for our church. Jesus said this. He said, the eye is the lamp of the body. He's talking about be careful about what you look at. And so I say it like this. The eye is also is where we get our vision, what we see. God wants us to see differently. God wants us to see big. And here's the fifth thing, the final thing. We've got to run with it. Follow through. If not, all we'll have is a bunch of great ideas. All we'll have is good intentions. Don't leave it as a good idea. Vision for your life, vision for your family, vision for our church. It takes action. You know what action does? Action confirms agreement. Action confirms the promise. Action confirms the vision. We're saying, God, we're saying amen to that by saying, God, I believe in what you're saying. I believe that, God, that what you want for my home and what you want for my family. And then what happens is the vision becomes contagious. People's going to want what you have. Your children is going to see that mom and dad is walking in unity. People's going to see that, you know what? You'll die for this vision. You're sold out to it. You got to be sold out to the vision that God has for you personally. You got to be sold out to the vision so much that you're saying, you know what? I'm going to invest my life into this thing. Like I said earlier, with our young people, is that I can say that I believe in you. I can say that I believe that God wants to do something big in your life, and I want to see a transformation. But if I'm not willing to make an investment, if I'm not willing to buy into that vision, then I really don't believe it. Because when you believe in something big enough, you'll buy into it. And if you believe in something strong enough, it's going to take sacrifice. It's going to take sacrifice. We all want to be healthy, but nobody wants to take the sacrifice in order to get there. We all want these big things. We all want nice things, but we don't want to make the sacrifice in order to obtain. God wants us to have vision for your life. Have vision. Stop speaking death over your family. Stop speaking death over yourself personally. I've heard people before. It's just the same way. I'm telling you, I've heard people say it, and they have literally announced death over their life. I'm like, dude, if you want something different, stop announcing death over you. If you want to see a change in your life, speak life over you. Speak the promises of God. Pastor, I can't, you know what, I'm walking in so much hurt, it's hard for me to see. It's hard for me to see vision. It's hard for me to see what God has in front of me. God is saying it's time for you today to change the way you see. Change your vision. Look through a new set of lenses. You know, when I get these glasses, I'm going to have 20/20 vision. I'll be able to see things clearer. And so what God is saying today, in the same way in the natural, many of you have glasses on because you need to improve your sight. God is saying today, put on a new set of lenses. Look through the lenses of faith. Look through the lenses of God and say, God, baptize me in faith. Baptize me in your love. I want to be able to see as you see. I want to see people like you see them. I want to see this situation how you see the situation. God, I know there's a storm going all around me, but God, you saw it as an opportunity to have faith. Just like the disciples when they were in the boat with Jesus and he was sleeping in the boat and they saw the storm. But Jesus saw beyond the storm. You see, vision, real vision, sees beyond the storm. When I keep looking at the natural and keep looking at it, all I see is the storm. All I see is the problem. All I see is that. But when we look through the lenses of God, we see the promise. We see the fruit from it. So I want to ask you today, who needs new lenses? Come on. Who needs to improve their eyesight? Who needs to improve their vision? Only two of you. My goodness. Everybody else is walking by faith. We're going to go out into the river, and we're going to see who can walk on water first. Come on. I want to ask you one more time. Who needs a clear vision today? Come on. You need clear vision for yourself. We need clear vision for my family. We need clear vision for our church. Come on. Let's all stand to our feet. Thank you, Lord. I want to ask you today to do something by faith. I want to ask you today. We're going to lean into the heart of God. I want to pray over you. And I want to ask you to do something by faith. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you, Lord, for this word today. I know, Lord, that you want to bless your people. And I know, God, that you've got great things in store for families that's in here today. And I know, Lord, that there are families in here that's under an attack. I know, God, there are families and there are homes and there are people that's in an attack of their mind, even personally, right now. It's hard for them to walk by faith because, God, all they're looking at is the situation. All they're looking at is the confusion. But, God, today I pray for us to see clearly in the name of Jesus. By faith, would you just take your hand right now over your eyes? Father, in Jesus' name, we want to see like you see. Give us clear vision. Give us vision for ourselves personally. Help me to see what you see. Help me to see problems as an opportunity to grow in faith. Anoint my eyes that I would see clearly. In the name of Jesus. God, I want to see clearly the vision of God. I want to see clearly the promises of God, the plan of God, the purpose of God for my life. In the name of Jesus. Now come on, let's just raise our hands to God and receive it. Father, we receive it, Lord. We receive it by faith, God. We walk by faith and not by sight. Come on.